If you've been told you need a filling crown or a root canal, get a second opinion at Dental Pros of Utah and American Fork. They utilize the latest biomimetic techniques to rebuild your teeth in order to prevent ever having to get crowns or root canals later in life. DentalProsOfUtah.com, 801-756-0360. That's 801-756-0360. Let's talk to a guru that knows a little bit about this particular issue in sports. Do we got the music to intro him?
Ooh, come on!
Music.
Are you kidding
arrived.
Me? Come on, where's the intro music?
Oh, we
got to
get this. This is the.
Come on, where's the Stro Shiny music? Gosh dang it!
Oh man, I was.
Oh, I told you it. You just weren't listening. Oh, Mitch, tell him Stro Shiny. Stroformance.com, the owner, the CEO, your local athletic trainer, Dave Stroshine. What's up, Dave?
Man, good to talk with you guys. I was, man, if I got intro music, that means I've arrived. I must be big time.
You are big time. No, you better believe it, Dave. We love this segment because we learn it.
You guys are too good.
No, man, we learn a ton about things that we're not really privy to. And granted, we like to feign knowledge of certain things, but just because we're a bunch of radio talking heads. But let's break this down. I mean, I asked Cameron a few questions about this, but let's start off with number one. In your opinion, what does it take to build a champion both physically and mentally?
So things have changed. My perspective has changed a little bit since I've become a father 7 years ago. And so my goal now is to create more opportunities for my son and to have him be a better man and have a better life than I have or I've created, and learn from some of the experiences I've had. And part of that, though, is I understand that he's going to have to develop and go through some trials to develop the character that he's going to need to be successful. So when we talk about building young men, young athletes, both physically and mentally, you know, the physical part, there's a lot of different philosophies on the strength training. You got speed. I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff. But mentally, that is where I want my sons to stand apart from the average athlete. And I believe that starts with confidence and teaching my sons how to do hard things, challenge them, and have them finish those things. So this is, you know, building a champion for me is more about creating young or successful young men and women, you know, and having them be successful in life than it is just on the playing field. My goal for my kids and even my athletes at Stroformance is for this training and the things that go along with it, the academic side, to have this be a springboard to an Ivy League education, which will then lead into opportunities that I haven't had in my life. But again, as a father, I want them to have greater opportunities, be more successful, and ultimately just be better than I am.
Do you think kids are more mentally weak these days than they used to be?
I don't know about – I wouldn't phrase it like that. I think there's a – I wouldn't call it epidemic yet, but there's this culture of, you know, path of least resistance almost, where, you know, I see that a lot of these young kids will start something – but if it becomes too hard or there's not immediate success or gratification, then I'm going to stop and move on to something else. One of the most difficult things as a father sometimes is to let your kids fall down and let them get up themselves. You know, we have this protective instinct, but that's how they build character. So one of the great stories I have about building this confidence and doing hard things and overcoming adversity and building some mental strength at a young age, you know, comes from my son Kingston's and Christian's experiences with wrestling. So Kingston's 6 last year, and the year before he loses in the state championship match. And so his goal this year was to be a state champion. Well, from the month of January through February, we did everything we could to give him the best opportunities to succeed on the mat. So it started with setting goals, started with following a plan, and it started, and then it finished with commitment to doing these things on a daily basis, which was hard at times. There were tears, there was frustration, there was, Dad, this is hard. But ultimately, his goal was to be a state champion. So as he started to overcome some of these adversities, he gets ready for a state championship match and ends up pinning every kid within the first 15 seconds and becomes a state champion. Well, his hard work had paid off, but it wasn't easy. It was tough. There was a daily grind that happened. But because of that, he now has a mentality and a mindset that I can apply my goals and a plan of action to anything I want to be successful at. And so that wrestling experience has laid the groundwork for him to understand what he's capable of. And ultimately, you know, the difference, I believe, between confidence and arrogance is confidence is an inner strength that is earned through doing hard things, overcoming some adversity, where arrogance is, you know, an outward appearance that leaves as soon as there's some adversity. So building confidence and having these kids earn things is so important at a young age.
We got Stroshine, Dave Stroshine, on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. I was discussing this with Cameron before we brought you on, and you know, I'd love to get your thoughts on whether or not the competitive edge and the mentality of or the difference between liking to win and having fun and all that, and hating to lose, like, if that can be learned, or if there really is that big of a difference between the two. What is there a big difference between the two, in your opinion?
Man, that's a great question. My take on that is, you know, we all want our kids to be successful. Every parent does. And I think creating an environment where they learn how to compete at a young age, whether that's through sports, school, is very important. Other activities. One of the stories that comes to mind when I hear that is, so I had an opportunity to work with Stanley Havili and Juana Cavenga. Both came from Pete Carroll's USC teams. And when they would train, they would continue to battle or continue to do the drill until they won. And it didn't matter if it was 5, 6, 7 reps, it did not matter. They would continue, all right, let's go. I'm going to get you. Let's go. And they would continue to compete until they came out on top. And it just raised the entire level and intensity of the gym. So I asked them, I said, where do you guys get this? And they said, Dave, every single day in practice was a competition. Everything we did was competitive. And so, and their response was, we hate to lose. So I don't know if that answers the question, but that's a story that comes to mind. But again, you know, these guys are competing for national championships on a year-in, year-out basis at that time. And their whole culture was built around competing in every single thing you do. So there's a good story as far as maybe what can happen. And you know, some of the times, you get young athletes that look at it and there's this, well, I want to be the best, but I hope my competition fails almost, versus I want to raise the level of my competition, which is going to enhance my level or raise my level and make me better, push me to be better, and let the chips fall where they may. So some different viewpoints and different perspectives on that.
Dave, what are some of you mentioned some names. Who are some of the most mentally strong athletes you've worked with, and what did you see from them?
Sure. Well, I like mental strength, and, you know, defining that, mental toughness. You know, I really like the term well-rounded, mentally well-rounded, meaning that I'm going to be successful in everything I do. My attitude and effort is I'm going to put my best foot forward and give my absolute best in everything I do, from academics religion, you know, family, sports, all of that. You know, one of the guys that first comes to my mind is an athlete I had a chance to work with when I first came here, and that was Tyler Hawes, who as a sophomore in high school was an incredible basketball player, but wasn't a D1 athlete. And his ability to compartmentalize and focus on each area of his life was just amazing, and it still is. But he took in the next 3 years, from the time he was a sophomore to a senior, he built his body into a D1 body, and the rest is history at BYU. Now he's playing overseas. But his ability to focus on a day-in, day-out basis is as good as anyone I've ever trained. You know, and then you have guys like Danny Sorensen, who's overcome a tremendous amount of adversity. When you talk about a guy that was undrafted, got released, instead of coming home and waiting for the phone to ring, he asked the chief staff if he can stay there and just train and work out, and they said yes. So he's around the facility continuing to learn as much as he can, working out. He, you know, someone goes down, he gets an opportunity. The rest is history. 2 years later, 3 years later, he signs a 4-year, $16 million deal as an undrafted free agent. Not too bad. But, again, overcoming adversity, using that as fuel almost, those challenges as fuel to, again, you know, promote success. And probably the last one is one that, you know, is an athlete I just recently worked with, and that's Taysom and all the stuff he's had to deal with. But the thing that impresses me most about Taysom is not his physical gifts, but his ability to set himself up for success outside of sports and have something to fall back on and be successful there as well.
Dave, I got to get your thoughts on this. It's something that Kem and I are pretty passionate about, and we're opinionated regarding this particular subject. When kids come back from missions, basketball, football, whatever it is, why is it that they lose the desire to play their particular sport at a high level? They lose some of that mental and that competitive edge, that desire. Why are they losing it?
Well, I never went on a mission. So for me, it's just kind of what I see versus being. But I think, you know, priorities change and experiences in life change. And then, you know, it's an uphill battle physically. It really is a challenge. In my experience, you know, it takes an athlete at least 3 to 6 months to start to get back to where they were, you know, pre-mission physically. So there's a lot of challenges. And then you got the girl picture, right? You got, you know, these guys come home and they meet a pretty girl and priorities change. So I think there's a lot of reasons why that may happen. I don't know if those, any of those are actually the answer, but that's kind of, you know, from my perspective, some of the things that I see.
Dave Stroshine on with us here, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. Do you have one athlete in particular that has come through, a BYU athlete, that has made the most gains from start to finish, both physically and mentally, that you're like, this guy, from the time that I got my hands on him to the time he left, had the most gains?
Oh, man. I'm going to have to go out back in the archives for that. There's been so many, you know, athletes that have left an impression on me. An athlete that has changed. When I think about that, I think about an athlete that not only physically is overachieved, but maybe mentally has matured and grown and turned out to be, you know, something that maybe most people, I don't have a BYU athlete per se.
All right, that's fine. You just pick one.
So there's a young man that came into my door. He was in seventh grade, and he was as wide as he was tall. And he shuffled versus sprinting. His sprint was literally a shuffle. And every year he kept coming back. The first year he wasn't even a starter on his football team. But every year he just came back for, you know, 4 months of training, year in and year out, and believed that he could succeed. And the training was a part of that. Well, seven years later, he gets a full ride to the Air Force Academy to play football. And I have video of this kid doing his first reaction-type drill, and to see where he came, not only physically, but just the confidence that he was able to, you know, that was instilled in him, that and who he became. He's now going on an LDS mission, and just a remarkable young man. His name is Ethan Schofield. But from where he started to where he's at now, a D1 football player, probably one of my greatest stories.
Last question for you, Dave. From what you know and the connections that you have, who's the strongest guy in the BYU football weight room right now?
So define strength. Are we talking a certain lift? Are we talking relative strength?
Yeah, let's do both. Let's do like kind of all the max
body
lifts.
Weight.
Yeah. Let's do max lifts and then like, you know, give me the body weight guy too. Because, you know, Nate Mickel, for instance, who we played with, was 175 pounds, but squatted over 500, would clean over 320, bench maybe around like 280 or so. So he was the strongest pound for pound. But overall lifts, who would you say? Dan Coates or Travis Bright?
Eddie Keel
was the number
wise,
one.
I think he had the strongest bench.
Yeah, but
of the
he
team.
Had skinny legs, though.
Are we just talking one? Are we all around?
I'm talking all around, so like the body, the weightlifting guy. The weightlifting guy, the strongest guy. Give it to us, Dave.
Man, is probably better suited for that. I don't have an opportunity to work with everybody. I'm a big guy on relative strength, though, just because I see how it translates to movement and speed and the ability to jump high, run fast, all that stuff. I know Jonah's, you know, another kid that's in that category of extremely strong. You know, I think they had him on the safety bar the other day doing 600 squat, and he's 190 pounds. I don't know a lot of pure numbers for the whole team. I know they talk about some linemen over there that are really, really strong for one rep maxes. I'm a big fan of, you know, the guys that based on their body weight are strong in everything. So those are the things I get excited about.
Dave, we appreciate you. Keep doing what you do. Cougar fans, check out strowformance.com and send your athletes his way to develop both mentally and physically. Thanks, Dave.
Hey, always a pleasure, guys. Thank you.
So shiny. So strow shiny. Cougar sports listeners.
There we go. There we go.
Yes.
We missed it.
Yes. If you've been told you need a filling crown or a root canal, get a second opinion at Dental Pros of Utah and American Fork. They utilize the latest biomimetic techniques to rebuild your teeth in order to prevent ever having to get crowns or root canals later in life. DentalProsOfUtah.com, 801-756-0360. That's 801-756-0360.